Hello, everybody, and welcome back. We're restarting the Mountain Lion Chalk Talk podcast. A little bit of a short stint last season, a couple episodes in the fall, but we're getting it right back up here to start in the fall of 2023. Brody, thanks for doing this with me, man. Jake Ross back with you guys, and this is going to be a fun little thing we got going here.
Yeah, of course, like Jake said, my name's Brody. I'm looking forward to being your co-host for the Chalk Talk podcast and stuff like that. I'm really looking forward to it. You know, sadly today we don't have any visitors and stuff like that, but in the future we're going to have visitors, hopefully, like crazy, because, you know, Jake knows everybody and stuff like that. He's everywhere. But yeah, I guess, Jake, do you want to kind of introduce what this podcast is for people that don't know really what it is?
Yeah, absolutely, and like I said, a year ago we started this up, and my kind of initial passion for this was, I was going to games as a student worker, and I was watching all these players on the field, and like they weren't more than just a number on the back of a jersey. And we started talking through the department. We started the Mountain Lion Spotlight and all that stuff, kind of to get to know the student athletes and the coaches more. Originally, I wanted to focus more on the coaches' side of things, and that was a lot of what this started with on the podcast side originally. But starting to get more student athletes involved this year, we've talked about, and just to kind of get to know the players that you watch week in and week out there on the soccer pitch, whether it be the volleyball court, all that kind of stuff. Once we get into the winter, basketball, track and field, softball, baseball, in the spring, women's lacrosse, all those good things. So just to kind of get to know the student athletes more and hear their stories and what kind of makes them tick.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, looking forward to it, because you know, sometimes with student athletes, you almost forget that they're people. You know, it's just like these people that play for the school and stuff like that. But a lot of the times, you know, they're your fellow Mountain Lions and everything like that, and they got, you know, just the same experiences and everything. It's just that, you know, they're way better at sports than me and you are, and probably the most of us are. But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait to see what we got in store and stuff like that. But other things that we talked about on here, obviously we're going to recap kind of UCCS athletics and what happened. You know, we play games all the time, so it's kind of hard to, you know, be there and watch everything and stuff like that. But me and Jake, we're hardened veterans, so you know, making sure that, you know, we watch them and stuff like that, and giving you guys a recap so you don't have to go back and watch, you know, all the film and stuff like that. When you got homework, you can just listen to us for a little while. Oh, cool, they did this, you know, they did that, all that fun stuff, and we'll be good to go there.
Yeah, well, and the beautiful thing about college athletics, like the last weekend in August through the first, or yeah, like the first weekend in May, pretty much every weekend barring middle of winter break, Christmas, New Year's time, there's something going on every weekend, sometimes midweek. So there's something for everybody in college athletics, and that's the beautiful thing about it.
Exactly. It's not like, you know, like one of those big, like NBA, NFL, where it's just like, oh, okay, cool, the season's over, I got to sit here and just be, you know, in purgatory for like a few months and stuff like that. So cool. All right. I think that's like a little bit of a good intro and stuff like that for kind of getting into things and everything. So, what sport do you want to start with first, man?
Well, I think we'll jump off with, the first game of last week, men's soccer heading down to CSU Pueblo. Good team. CSU Pueblo's got number 8 in the nation for Division 2 in the men's side of the game. And they've got some good players down there. Gabriel Campora, he's the
NAC leader in, or the RMAC leader in goal scored, right?
That's correct. Yeah, and he just has looked unstoppable this year. And, he's 3 goals in 2 games against UCCS, the only Thunderwolf to score on the Mountain Lions in their 2 meetings, and he picked up right where he left off last weekend. And I mean, the men made it interesting. They've been struggling to find the net in the last couple of weeks, unfortunately, but they got back. Danny Barajas scored a goal in that game. It was his first of the season, starting to get more playing time. And 2-1 loss obviously doesn't feel very good. Could have easily been a 2-2 game. They were up a man towards the end of that game.
Yeah, because one of the CSU guys, they got a double, or they got another yellow card, and so the guy got kicked out. But wasn't able to capitalize, which is, you know, kind of a little bit of a theme with the UCCS men recently. Just can't find the back of the net. But, I mean, it's still a strong game. I mean, you really want to look at it like, you know, they were down 2-0 instead of just giving up. And so, like, because going down to 2-0, especially versus CSU Pueblo and stuff like that, it's kind of a tough, like, you know, it's a tough situation to be in. But, like you said, Danny got his first goal. I think it was his first goal of the season, right?
Yeah, correct.
First goal of the season. So, ended up getting his first goal, and made it a game, which is, you know, which is good since you said they're number eight ranked, right?
Oh, like, yeah, in the nation. And they've been as high as number three. I think actually they were up to number two for one of the weeks, but they're a good team. They were in the national championship game a season ago. So if you, and obviously the Mount Lion men's soccer program, that's their goal, is to be at that level fighting for the national championship. Mm-hmm. And if you want to get to that, you have to be able to play against teams like CSU Pueblo, and they showed that they can stay in a game last week. Unfortunately, they came out on the wrong side of it. Sometimes that's just how it goes, but they're making strides towards the right direction.
100%, yeah. A whole bunch of promising young up-and-coming guys and stuff like that. Definitely put in work in the offseason. I mean, you can just tell.
Well, and there's too much talent on that team. So, I mean, up front, you got Marvin Putu. Alex Anderson's probably going to be a professional soccer player here in the next handful of years.
Yeah.
Colby Ranieri was the leading scorer in the RMAG not too long ago, and he hasn't had a goal yet this season, and it's not going to end that way. He's going to get him before the end of the year gets here, so it's just a matter of when.
Mm-hmm.
So things are going to shore up here sooner rather than later, hopefully, for the men's soccer team, but a good performance on Wednesday.
Yeah, 100%. Cool. So that's kind of just what happened. Obviously, you know, sadly lost a 2-1 and stuff like that, but overall a tough matchup and everything like that. Cool. I guess, what do you want to jump to next?
Yep. So nothing on Thursday. Friday morning, though, we had the Mount Lion Open for men's and women's cross country.
Mm-hmm.
Not too much to cover there. It wasn't a scored meet, but I believe all the women, there was three women's runners that ran in that one, all of which set a new personal record for that course. And obviously, they run that course a lot. It's right here in town, Monument Valley Park, just down the road, about 10-minute drive here, if that, depending on traffic. But yeah, so kind of the cross-country team's starting to look a little bit forward towards that RMAC championship meet, towards the regional meet here at the end of the month. So not the top runners you'll see, but these runners are the ones that are going to be those top runners in a year, 2 years' time. So to get kind of that regular time out there on the course, a couple unattached runners out there as well from our team. So getting those miles in, if you will, and getting that ball moving.
Yeah.
Like we said, without it being a scored meet, not too much to talk about, but
yeah, kind of jumping off with the women's and stuff like that for those curious. So all of them set PRs and stuff like that. We had Maddie, that is a hard last name. Maddie
Ruskowitz, I think.
Ruskowitz. Okay, cool. See, Jake knows way more than
I don't know if that's right.
Yeah. So Maddie R, we'll call him Maddie R, you know, we apologize, Maddie. And then we had Abby Bartle and then also Kaya Pilavin, I think.
Yep, Pilavin.
So yeah, so Maddie ended up finishing 22nd the whole meet with a time of 18:45. Abby had a time of 18:52, and then Kaya finished it off with a time of 19:13. I thought it was cool. You know, people always say that mountain lions, you know, run in packs and stuff like that.
Right.
The three ladies actually ended up finishing within all within 30 seconds of each other.
Yeah.
So yeah, but definitely, you know, a good way to start, like Jake alluded to earlier, that weren't you know, they're a little bit not like our top runners and stuff, because they're resting for the RMAC championship. But I mean, if you're talking about like looking up for the future, I mean, for all three of, you know, the women that suited up to get PRs and stuff like that, I mean,
right,
is looking good.
Well, and if you talk to Corey Kubatsky, the head coach for the women's team, his biggest thing is try and get a little bit better every day.
Yeah.
And if they're going out there that day, they're all setting their new best, then that just gives them another mark to chase at the next one, whether that be an RMAC championship meet, whether it be this or that. But the fact that even in a, I don't want to say throwaway meet, obviously they all count for something.
We'll call it practice
yeah,
meet.
Yeah, in a meet that isn't scored, isn't as high stakes as some of the others that they may run throughout the year, the fact that they can go out there and set a new personal best for that course, one that they've probably run 1,000 times since it's right here in town, more power to them.
Yeah, I was going to say that having that, seeing that like motivation, you know, it's like, oh, it's a practice. A lot of people, you know, some people like dog, even like in the professional world,
right?
If it's a practice meet or if it's a meet that's just like not scored, doesn't have money or something like that attached to it.
We're talking about practice.
Yeah, practice. We're talking about practice, not the game. Practice, man. No, but you know, it, with like kind of those like more casual meets, they'll just completely dog it for no reason.
Exactly.
And stuff like that. So it's good to see the ladies went out there and actually tried their best and stuff like that, showed off their improvements from last year and everything. So
Only it was cold up. Too.
Yeah.
I was out there and it was, I had my coffee and I was walking from my car down. There's a little gravel path that kind of drops down into the area where the starting finishing line is. And I had my sweatshirt on and long pants, all this stuff. And I was cold halfway from the car and I was like, I'm too close. I'm not turning around and going back to the car to get my bigger jacket.
Yeah.
And I was trying to tough it out. It was cold, and all of them are in their little, like, really short, like, track shorts.
Oh, like the skin.
The tank tops, and I'm just like, I don't know.
Yeah, no.
Craziness. Yeah, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, cross country, man, like, for, I guess we didn't mention earlier, the women were in a 5K.
Yeah.
Like, pff, oh, my goodness.
Running 5K in 18 minutes.
Is wild.
No, thanks.
No, I get that, you know, I get that, like, maybe 50 or something like that. I'd be good to go, though. You know, I'd be good.
Well, there's a we were joking us and some of the athletic admin, and there's a little pace bike at the very front.
Yeah,
that kind of that way because I mean it's at a public park, right? So it's not like it's closed. So you get recreational runners and around just from people that live in the area, and so that part of why they have that biker out front is to say like, hey, the race is coming through, like clear a path real fast, let them go by.
Yeah,
and I was like, I might be able to do the bike. I certainly couldn't run the race.
Yeah, that's
I'd be being picked up by the trainer and the gator that follows the last person because I'd be passed out at some point halfway through.
Yeah, no. So, cross country is wild, man. I remember I used to run track back in high school and stuff like that. And we'd have those days, like we'd have to get those like all the real tight stuff on everything. Yep. And like to their credit, even though it sucks, like it's cold. It is so much better than running with, like, stuff on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, easily. You have to.
Easily.
You have to.
Yeah. So, credit to them, though, because I could never.
Yeah, no. I was going to say, Jake was out there, you know, toughing the, you know, winter storm and everything. I was, you know, just chilling in my house, you know, with the heater on and everything.
Fair enough. It was cold this weekend.
Yeah.
Starting to, winter's coming.
Yeah. Now, I'm looking forward, man. Winter's coming. Basketball's coming up pretty soon. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. 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 Not too long.
Yeah, so that was the women's. I guess on the men's, how many people ended up running? I think it was it 5 or 10?
I can't remember the number off the top of my head. Just a handful. I want to say 6 or 7, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, same kind of thing, just trying to get extra miles in.
Yeah.
Not as many PRs, if I remember correctly, in that one, but still good performances from them. Cross-country scoring, obviously this one wasn't scored, but it's a little different than most. It's kind of – it's the most similar to golf. You want the lowest score as a team.
Yeah.
But you get 1 point for each place. So first place runner gets 1 point, second place runner gets 2 points, 36th place runner gets 36 points.
Yep.
And your top five runners for your team is your team score
combined. Yeah.
So I think for the it's escaping me, the Mountain Lion invite.
There
it was.
Go. Yeah.
Thank you. That was earlier in the year.
Yeah.
I think the women's team scored like 47 points total, which is very good. They were one of the top runner or one of the top teams at that meet. Or it was the Rust Buster.
How could I
forget the name of the Rust Buster? and so just for an example, about mid-40s was their score there, and that was the combination of their top five runners. So the lower score you get, the better. And even for the men, I think they would have been – like mid-60s for this one, which is still for five runners, that's all less than 20th.
Yeah, and I think there was, I think at this one for the men's, I think there was like 10 teams there?
Yeah.
Or something. I think like 10 teams there, so.
It wasn't the biggest meet. There, a lot of them were local RMAC schools. I think the furthest school was New Mexico Highlands, which is in Las Vegas, New Mexico. 3/4 of the way to Albuquerque, so couple-hour drive, not terrible for them.
Yeah.
Women's race had Wyoming Division I school there, which is, if you're pulling schools like that, CSU was there. And perfect example, women's cross-country the week before, they're the A-team runners, if you will, all competed in the Live in Lou race, which is in Louisville, Kentucky. That's a national meet.
Yeah.
There are several ranked Division I schools that our women's team beat. They were fourth out of, almost 100, I want to say, teams. And or no, probably wasn't. Maybe 40 teams.
Yeah, that's still that is still a grip. That is still a lot.
Talking to one of our coaches last year, they explained it like if you're third out of 47, mm-hmm. that would be the equivalent of a basketball team going 47-3 mm-hmm. on their season. Which, mm-hmm. if you think about it like that, it's like wow,
yeah,
that's pretty good. Like,
so, like 2016 Warriors type stuff.
Exactly. So, yeah. If you put in that perspective, fantastic. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean. UCCS women's cross country is ranked, I think, fourth in the nation right now. Men were like 21st, 22nd. So, mm-hmm. I mean, Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference cross country and track, this is like a mecca for running events.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Track and field, all that type of stuff. Adams State out in Alamosa are always up there for the national title. Colorado School of Mines, I'm pretty sure, was won the men's national title last year.
Yeah.
Those type of schools, and UCCS is right in that bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Good distance runners want to be in this area. So yeah. Even our meets like this, I mean, 18 minutes for a 5K, up there.
Yeah, well, that's up there. And you got to consider, like we said earlier, you know, that wasn't like their A team.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
And no disrespect to the runners that ran. They beat 90% of the runners in the country.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Yeah.
Just lots to talk about, even in these meets that aren't scored and really don't mean anything in the long scheme of stuff, they're putting up numbers that are mm-hmm. top of the game.
Yeah, cool. Just one small thing on the men. So shout out to Coy Cunningham. I think he led all UCCS runners.
Yep.
And I think he ended up with a career best, I think, because he ran an 8K in 26 yep. minutes, 17 seconds.
Yep.
So it was a career best for him. So yep. shout
out,
Coy.
The 8K course there changes elevation. There's like two upper loops and two lower loops, and you mm-hmm. do the whole thing two or three times. So
it's a rough.
And like I said, it was cold. So yeah. that makes it that much harder when you're breathing in frosty air. So
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah. So cross country overall, even though like Jake said earlier, not a scored meet, but still just so much to talk about.
Right.
I mean, cross country.
We could sit here and talk all day.
Yeah. We could go across the country talking about cross country.
Oh yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
Alrighty. Awesome. So that was cross country. That was on
Friday morning.
Yep. Yeah. So Friday night who did we have Friday night?
That was volleyball, Chadron State in town.
Yep.
And the volleyball team, they've had a tough year. Mm-hmm. Injuries have just riddled their season. They got Malin Mitrovic back. She kind of coming into the year was seen as that number one center.
Center. We're playing basketball already?
Almost.
Almost. We're getting there.
But number one setter, Joey Barella kind of was brought into that everyday setter role once mm-hmm. Malin went down. Now, and Joey did an awesome job picking up that slack, but now she can kind of relax a little bit more. They can move them in and out. I'm so happy for Malin. I just like to say this, like just watching her on Friday night being back out there.
Yep.
Like obviously it wasn't the best game for the team. They were swept 3-0.
Yeah.
Not the result they wanted. It was a step in the right direction. We'll get to that in a second from them, but just to see the look on Malin's face, like she looked so genuinely excited to be back out there.
Oh yeah.
And after she was traveling with the team even to the away meets and all that. Or matches were moved on from cross country.
Yeah.
Away matches. She was there. And so she was there for the win. She was there for the losses.
Mm-hmm.
Saw a lot of tough games, a lot of really good games. And she was just a bystander in all of those. So to be back out on the court, I just wanted to shout her out and say congratulations to her because mm-hmm. she just seems so genuinely excited.
Yeah. And not to mention the thing that I really got to say with that also is that she didn't like come back on the court and was like, you know, she's like not 100%. They're obviously, you know, like still coming back from injury, getting back into it. And stuff like that, but
it's not like she's going to be top of her game right back into it, but she played well.
No, I was going to say she played well. Just looking at the stats, she led all UCCS Mountain Lions with 23 assists, which the next best was
Joey Barella. Yep.
Joey Barella, which had 12. So, yeah, Malin definitely made a difference out there.
Yeah,
so
well, and just like I said, and you could see that her teammates were kind of feeding off that a lot of that's kind of what I touched on earlier. Obviously, they had a really tough weekend a weekend ago playing Regis, who's a ridiculously good team.
Yeah.
And playing on the road against a team like that, like you're going to get throttled.
Yeah.
And they did. And it happens. Obviously, like, you'd like to take a set from a team like that, show that you can kind of play with them. Still not having Malin in that match, there was lots of things working against the Mount Lions. Mm-hmm. Luckily for them, it didn't count as a conference match, so they, at the time, maintained their undefeated record. But
yeah.
But yeah, so going from that weekend into this past weekend, even though it was a sweep against Shadron coming in and sweeping them in three sets, mm-hmm. there's a lot of good things to build off of, and you kind of saw more of that. We'll get to Saturday here after the break, but yep. Seeing how they worked with all of that, kind of turned the page from a weekend ago where it was there wasn't very many good things mm-hmm. to talk about, if we're blunt about it. Yeah. But
you're harsh, to, man. You're harsh, man.
No disrespect.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. And they'll be the first to tell you. I mean, mm-hmm. there were a lot of things that they didn't want to bring with them from a weekend ago. And Shadron coming back, they're back at home. They'd like to get a win there. Like I said, there's been a lot of things working against them this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the energy was better. The communication on the court was better.
Yeah.
Just the overall energy in the stadium was better.
Just the look of them yeah. and stuff like that.
They were back.
Yeah, kind of going off that, even though they did get, swept 3-0 and stuff, I don't think that really does justice for, like, how close this match was.
Yeah.
Just looking at it, so for the first set, dropped it 19-25, and then 2 and 3 was 25-21, both right. of them, and so they had right there.
Well, and even for the 25-19, mm-hmm. 6 points in volleyball, that could be one server.
That can be one run,
like,
yeah.
We played a match 3-4 weeks ago now mm-hmm. where we got 8 points off of one Mackenzie Ransom serve.
Mm-hmm. I mean, all it takes, right, is just like maybe an ace and then yeah. like 2-3 yeah. kills, and all of a sudden that's 4 points and yeah. bam, you're right back yeah. into it. It
causes the other team to call a timeout, all the momentum's your way, your fans are loud in your gym, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. And,
yeah.
and unfortunately, Friday night, it was kind of timely mistakes. We called it. But that happens. You have games like that, and better have it now than last couple games of the season when you're fighting for a tournament spot, when you're maybe in that tournament game trying to get mm-hmm. that extra set. But we'll see what happens here in the next couple weeks with the women's volleyball team. But they're making some steps in the right direction.
Oh, yeah. It's fun to watch them out there, especially, like you said, this Friday game. Just the energy that was out there was pretty insane.
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing within the gym and stuff like that, like you mentioned.
Credit to some of the UCCS students, too.
Yeah.
Men's cross country has been there like almost every match. They've mm-hmm. been loud. They've got these little signs they hold up. So credit to their fellow student athletes and some of the UCCS student faithful here, because they've been making the volleyball matches really fun.
Yeah, 100%. I was going to say, UCCS, even though, sometimes the crowds aren't like the, packed for the gym.
Right.
Oh, we're loud.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Even if, yeah. It doesn't take much.
Yeah. It doesn't take much. Just a few people out there, yeah. With some big old voices.
Get
and
a
stuff
couple
like
friends
that.
On board and Man. Turns it into a fun afternoon.
Yeah, 100%. But cool. But yeah, we're kind of running up on, kind of close to commercial break and stuff like that. Were there any other like kind of events you want to talk about before we kind of cut off?
I think that covers it for that first half. We'll get to the weekend here after the break. But
alrighty,
we'll,
awesome.
We'll start right back up with volleyball too. So
cool.
Good
awesome.
Trading off point.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. Well, folks, thank you so much for listening to the first half. We hope to catch you again right after this commercial break. Alrighty, hello and welcome back to the Chalk Talk. I'm here with my host, Jake. But if you're just joining in with us, we're talking a little bit about UCCS Athletics, kind of recapping what happened in the last week. The first half, talked about pretty much everything up until the weekend. Talked a little bit about soccer, men's soccer, their first match against CSU Pueblo, and then kind of went into men's and women's cross country pretty in depth, actually. Kind of just talking about, overall, what does this mean for the future and everything like that, even though it wasn't a scored beat. And then finally finished it up with volleyball and women's. Women's volleyball, kind of sadly, their loss against Chatham State. But we're kind of back here and subsequently going to talk a little bit more about volleyball.
Yeah, right back in it. They kicked off the weekend Saturday afternoon, 3 p.m. Gallagher Event Center.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good crowd for a midday Saturday. CCU in town, they're a good team, the Cougars are, and taking some big steps the last couple of years has CCU. And After Friday night, I was interested to see how they looked on Saturday afternoon. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they had a tough weekend. We talked about that briefly the weekend before. But then it coming into Saturday, it had been like a week and a half, 2 weeks since they had even won a set.
Yeah.
Credit to the teams they played. Very well put together teams. They were playing well. A couple of mistakes here and there from the Mountain Lions to help those teams along, but they responded really well Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
They dropped those first two sets against CCU, but they really kind of dug deep that third set.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they went somewhere inside themselves and found something, flipped a switch, but
they got the you know, in Space Jam when they got like Michael's juice and stuff, they had like the UCCS juice. Yeah, they got a little UCCS juice over there.
Whatever it was, it was working for them, because that third set, they came out, they went on a little run to start things out.
Mm-hmm.
They started to get more players involved. Isabella Hudspeth was a big one this weekend.
Yeah.
Nicole Medlin up in the middle. They were working together. They started to click in that third set, won that third set,
mm-hmm.
came out in the fourth set, controlled that whole time. Wasn't a blowout, but it was their set.
Yeah.
And so, especially after dropping those first two, being swept 12 hours before,
mm-hmm.
16 hours before, to be able to respond like that after being put through so much adversity the last couple weekends,
mm-hmm.
Credit to them.
Yeah.
Like we said, Malin Mitrovic back, all those good things. It was really a big step for them.
I was going to say with that third set, I don't think you did it justice with just how like much they came out,
yeah.
and stuff like that. At one point, they went up 11 points during the,
yeah.
set and stuff like that. Absolutely killing it. I know like Julia Geiger and Lauren Shockley were also out there absolutely just,
yep.
killing it.
Yeah. Well, and both of those, they've been with the program a long time. They're fifth year for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's the leaders of that program. And so the fact that they could come out and show, like, kind of pick up some of that slack, if you will,
mm-hmm.
And show, like, yeah, we've been down the last couple weekends. It's been a tough go for us, but we can still play with these teams.
Yeah.
Like, we're a talented team. We've played with each other. We know we can trust each other, and to kind of be the leaders and show that this is how things need to go if we want to be successful, and to kind of pull them up by their bootstraps, if they will, when they're,
yeah.
down on the floor, down 2-0 in the match.
Yeah, put on the big girl pants and get out
exactly.
there.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, they kind of lost their steam in the fifth set.
Yeah.
CCU came out, I think it was 5-1 when we called our first time out in the fifth set.
Mm-hmm.
So couldn't finish it out, but the fact that we even took them to five sets after the tough start, it kind of looked like, oh, here's another weekend where it's going to be six sets played, six sets lost.
Oh, yeah.
Five sets played, five sets lost. Doesn't matter. Let's go get two. Almost had that third to get the win, but
yeah.
just ran out of steam. Sometimes that happens when you're in a hole like that, but
mm-hmm.
but we're kinda making strides.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt, but kind of jumping off the shock, okay. like how long she's been here and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Something that I found interesting, that she now sits sixth in all-time matches played with UCCS at,
yep.
116, and ninth all-time in sets played at 422. So she's been here a little while,
yeah.
you know, kind of a legend and stuff like that,
yeah.
in the like volleyball scene here.
Absolutely.
Like,
well, and to your point, she last year was really supposed to be her crowning jewel.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, she went down. She had an ankle injury in just like the eighth match played in the preseason.
Yeah.
Luckily for her, eligibility was on her side. She got the year back, is back this year to kind of cap it off. And that's her program now. Like,
yeah.
She's a leader in the locker room. There's been a couple players with her. Like we said, Julia Geiger also in her,
yep.
fifth year. But those are the players that all of the, like, Sydney Walker,
oh.
freshman, she's going to be a player here. She's going to be in that conversation for most
mm-hmm.
matches played if she sticks out her 4 years here at,
mm-hmm.
at UCCS. Has been very promising in her first season.
Yep.
She's looking up to those players like Lauren Shockley, like Julia Geiger.
Yeah, I was going to say something kind of poetic that actually happened. It's funny that you mentioned Walker, is that Walker and Shockley, they actually not both combined, but they both led the team with 12 kills apiece. So they had the same piece. So
yep.
it's like the, you know, like the passing of a torch in a sense.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, there's still a lot of games we played
yep.
this season and stuff like that. But I just find it funny that you mentioned
microcosm.
Yeah. But how you mentioned Walker and Shockley actually they had the same amount of kills and stuff like that, both with 12 apiece. So
right.
yeah, definitely she's gonna be you know, box score,
right.
you know, box office. Jesus, I don't know what I'm saying. But yeah,
good.
Box office up here at UCCS. So looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, and not to mention that Avery Ehlers hasn't played a lot this season. She's going to be a player here in the next couple of years, just kind of buying her time now. She's going to play a lot more in the coming years. Players like that that we haven't even really seen yet. Malin, we talked about, she's been hurt. She's going to be back and have a big impact the rest of this season, next season, all that good stuff. So I will say, who knows what this team's going to look like a year from now, but I think it's things are only looking up for the volleyball squad.
Once again with the Malin, she also once again led the UCCS Mountain Lions with assists with 19 at that match. Yeah. So definitely makes an impact.
Setter's doing her job.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you missed it last, what's it called, before the commercial break, we were mentioning how Malin just recently came back from a pretty hard injury and stuff like that. Instantly made an impact, and it seems that that first game wasn't a hiccup. It was She's back.
She's back. Well, and she still wasn't moving 100%. Obviously, you're not going to after missing most of a season like this.
Yeah.
And not to speculate, but I'm pretty sure this she's been dealing with this ailment for a while. So baby steps when you get back on the court, right? It's not like you're going to be at the top of your game right when you're hitting your first game back. So the fact that she's leading the team in assists, obviously setters are going to have more assists than anybody else.
But, yeah, but
hey.
Yeah.
You got to start somewhere, and the fact that she's picking up right then, making an impact right away, it's only going to get better as she gets more and more healthy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was kind of like an athlete myself and everything. You know, when you come back from an injury, it's, I mean, it almost feels like you're a different person and stuff like that.
You have to almost relearn the game all over again.
I remember when I went down with pneumonia for a while, like 2.5 weeks and stuff like that. Couldn't play basketball for 2.5 weeks, dude. I went back, and man, I mean,
even just 2.5 weeks.
Oh, 2.5 weeks.
You think that's no time. Yeah. It makes a huge difference.
Yeah, pretty much, you know, had to relearn how to dribble a basketball. You know, I had to, like, you know, go left hand. Like, I was like, okay, I can do a crossover between the legs. Oh, drop the ball. Yeah, definitely props to her for coming back.
The towel.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no, but definitely props to her for coming back. Not only in that first game, but that second game also just absolutely making an impact on there. So, but sweet, yeah, so that's pretty much all volleyball and stuff like that, too, even though, obviously, the box score isn't what we would want, going 0-2 and stuff like that. I think, overall, it is a great step in the right direction from the point of getting, like we said earlier, Malin back and also just the energy around this team and kind of picking it back up in a sense.
When you're in a season like they are where you're dealing with so many injuries, you're dealing with so many distractions, if you will, at practice, normal people aren't there. You have to go through the different personnel on the court. The fact that they can pull out a weekend like this, you have to look past the numbers and see that they're getting their energy back, and it's just chipping away, trying to get out of that valley and higher up onto that mountain, and they're moving the right direction.
In a sense, like, numbers can only speak for so much.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like you can't just look at numbers and be like, oh, well, it's over. But
exactly.
Yeah. But awesome. Cool. So that's pretty much everything for volleyball. Kind of moving ahead, then we had men's soccer play also on the 8th. Ended up tying with CCU 1-1. It was pretty much a defensive mob the whole time. It was a defensive mosh.
That's CCU soccer for you.
I think I saw something. Yeah, so through the first 39 minutes, both teams combined for one shot.
Yes.
So,
well, I mean, both teams like their defense, right? And CCU soccer, like, I kind of joking, CCU soccer for you, but that's the way they play, man.
Yeah.
The women played them 2 weeks ago, and it was a 1-0 match. I was talking to JB Belzer, the head women's coach, and he said they not only parked the bus, they took the tires off and put it up on cinder blocks. And that's the men's soccer team over there is the same way. They sit back, they put in their defensive structure, and they say, okay, come on and score on us, see if you can do it.
Yeah.
Luckily, Alex Anderson, we had talked about him, he's going to be elevated to the next level here in the next season or so, if all things go well. And he finally found the net after scuffling for a few matches.
Yep.
Still the leading scorer of the program. They're always going to lean on him for getting those notches, and it was good to see him find the net once again. And a big goal after giving up the one shot.
Yep.
Unfortunately, in that first half was a goal for CCU.
Yeah.
But the fact that they could kind of dust that off halftime, come back out. Trailblazer Stadium, too, is a tough place to play.
Yeah.
Hard surface, not conducive to the best game of soccer, if you will.
Yeah.
But 100%. The fact that they could grind out that game and find the net after not being able to do so in the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Big result for them.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, once again, even though it was 1-1, great to see, like we said earlier, Anderson getting that goal in there and stuff like that. And it was late, too. It was after the second half. It was in, like, the 70th minute or, like, 60, late 60s and stuff like that. So not to give up against, like, a defensive, you know, blob
right.
of a team. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just all defense.
Well, and if when you CCU is a talented team.
Yeah, 100%.
So when they sit back and play defense, they're going to give you a hard time. And the fact that you can find a way to break through that and tie that game at one while playing with the deficit. Because once they have the 1-0 lead, what else are they going to do?
Yeah, just like, put all dudes
okay,
on defense?
Yeah. We're up a goal. As long as we don't get scored on from here on out, we got the win. So let's just sit back, play defense, and the fact that they could fight through that and pull 1 point. They didn't get the 3 points that you'd get with a win, but to get a point out of that game is a big result for them, especially after going down early.
Mm-hmm, 100%. Like you were mentioning earlier, Anderson is like kind of the leader in UCCS, and we're leaning on him. That was his 6th goal of the season, so good to see him like actually getting after it and stuff like that. But yeah, overall, really solid game by both teams, but UCCS being able to kind of be in this kind of slog in a sense, like a slog for the first 60 minutes or so, and then actually getting into it and still capitalizing off Anderson's and everything like that.
Well, and two, after, like we talked about before the break, the 2-1 loss earlier in the week to CSU Pueblo, sometimes you can kind of see a team bring some of those emotions back into the next game that they have that week.
Mm-hmm.
They closed the book on CSU Pueblo. They said, that's a good team. We gave them a good fight, couldn't get it done in the end. But then to turn the page and pull out a result in that game against CCU, kudos to that program.
Yeah, 100%. So pretty much on the up and up for CU, or not CU, Jesus, UCCS, men's, both soccers and stuff like that, actually, because we're going to get into women's soccer a little bit later.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's going to be exciting. But yeah, men's soccer overall, the 1-1 draw for CCU, I mean, just great to see it.
Yeah, especially playing on the road all week, going down to CSU Pueblo, tough place to play, good fans, passionate fans, getting a goal down there, almost pulling out that draw. They had 3 or 4 opportunities to score. It took a couple really quality saves out of CSU Pueblo to keep them ahead in that match. Could have very easily been 2-2, even 3-2 maybe, if he can't make a couple of those saves. So the fact that, and like we said earlier, number 8 team in the country, to be able to pressure them down the stretch in that match, couldn't get it done. CSU had to pull out a couple really nice plays to earn that win, and then to roll into Lakewood, another really tough place to play, tough stadium, hot in the middle of the day. It was very positive for them to get that tie.
100%, yeah. And, that was their second of their road trip that they're going on to, so also being able not to just be like, man, I want to go home. So, really good for them.
Always feels good to be back home when you can get there, and they'll be back home this coming weekend, Sunday. And that'll be Adams State, I believe, they have here on Sunday afternoon, so that'll be a nice homecoming for them after spending some time on the road.
Looking forward to it. But I think that's enough about men's soccer. We got to talk about women's soccer because they absolutely washed Fort Lewis.
Well, they had a week to think about it, too.
Yeah.
But every team's got a week in the season where they only play one match.
Yeah.
That was this week for women's soccer, and they took their rest seriously. And, they came out to play, and credit to Fort Lewis, very good team. They were coming in undefeated, 5 wins, I want to say 4 ties.
It was before, 5 wins,
4 or 5 ties as well before getting here. And so whenever you get into mid, late October and you haven't lost a soccer game, you're a good team. And I want to give credit to Fort Lewis because I don't think they've been getting enough credit for their record.
Yeah.
They've played some good teams. They're not ranked nationally. I think they're ranked like 10th in the region, which is
pretty low. Stupid
for an undefeated record.
Yeah.
I could go on and on about the United Soccer Coaches, but they're a good team and they deserve more attention than they've been getting. Maybe to their liking, where they can just kind of fly under the radar, take care of their business, and not have to worry about all of the...
Sometimes it's better not to be in the limelight and stuff like that, you know what I mean? Sometimes it better be like the surprise.
Fly under the radar. Nobody's taking us seriously, but we're going to do what we know we can do.
Yeah, like,
and they've been that team.
Yeah, like, hey, we're actually good. I know you haven't heard of us, but like, we're like actually good.
Yeah, that's exactly how the Skyhawks have been playing.
Yeah.
Damian Clark's been there. I think this is his fifth year back at Fort Lewis, like 12th overall. He's been around the RMAC forever.
Yeah.
JB, head women's soccer coach.
He's been around forever too. Yeah,
27th, 28th year coaching in the RMAC this season. So a couple old school guys coaching some old school women's soccer, possession-based game. I don't know how many times I couldn't count how many times one team would get the ball and that team's coach would go, all right, keep it.
Yeah.
Like, they want to control the pace of play, and credit to UCCS. They came out those first 12 minutes. They were the generals of the field. They had possession. They were playing games on their terms. I don't remember the shot total off the top of my head, but
for the for UCCS?
Yeah.
I pulled it up here. It says 12.
12. Yeah. So they were commanding that game.
They were firing.
If they wanted to take the shot, it was their ball to take. And so kind of a fortunate goal first. Emily Aguilar got that first goal. It was kind of a weird play. The Fort Lewis keeper tried to clear it, and Emily was like right in front of her and just kind of stuck her foot out to block it.
Yeah.
And then it just trickled in behind the keeper on the ricochet. Little bit lucky. You got to put yourself in the right position to get lucky in games like soccer.
Yeah.
So credit to Aguilar for being there.
A goal is a goal.
Right.
You know,
they all count the same.
Yeah, exactly. So 1 point is worth 1 point. So, I mean, you know, she was there. She got the goal, and there you go.
So got us started. And after the break, Jade Kinsey scoring on the penalty kick. I believe it was, I want to see Sierra Garcia was the one that was dragged down in the box. Maybe it was Michaela Merlot.
Mm-hmm.
One of the two fighting hard. Was able to earn that PK. Get a goal right after halftime, then you can kind of sit back a little bit more.
So the girl that got dragged down in the box was
Taylan Levi. That's
Taylan
right.
Levi. Yeah, Taylan Levi got dragged down. Yep.
Yep. And Levi's another perfect example. Freshman on the team this year.
Yep.
She's been playing club soccer in the area, Pride Soccer Club product. Has played with Jade, who took the penalty kick off of her earned foul.
And yep.
So all these girls have been around each other. They know what it takes to win a good soccer game. They know what needs to be put in at practice week in and week out.
Mm-hmm.
And women's soccer, they've been a nationally recognized program for the last 5-6 years now.
Yep.
And so they're no stranger to this type of pressure.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
They had a little bit of a rocky start this year. I think they were sitting 2-2-2 coming into RMAC play, and they're 5-0 since then.
Yeah, I was going to say, they went from 2-2, 2-2 to 7-2 for wins and stuff like that. So, yeah.
And so 5-0 in RMAC play.
Yep.
Knock on wood, because I'm superstitious.
There's got to be wood somewhere around here. Yeah.
But they're in form right now, and they control their own destiny at this point. They sit atop the conference at 5-0.
Mm-hmm.
They started with Colorado School of Mines to start the conference schedule.
Yeah.
And we were talking after that game. They beat School of Mines 2-0 here at home.
Yeah.
And we were talking after the game. It always seems to come down to UCCS and Colorado School of Mines and women's soccer.
Yeah.
And so the fact that that was off the bat.
Yeah, offer no warm-up, no nothing. It's just, you're playing Mines.
Yeah, here we go.
Okay.
Mines at home, start conference play, ready, start.
Yeah.
Especially after starting 2-2-2 in non-conference play, like, the cards were stacked against them.
Yeah.
And they took that to heart. They said, we know what we can do. We're the team to beat. And they have showed that, and they've been no one's beating them.
Yeah.
No RMAC yet.
No.
So to be that team, you got to beat that team. Mm-hmm. And they have beaten everybody that have come through them. And even some ugly wins. 1-0 against CCU in Lakewood. 1-0 against MSU Denver in Denver.
Oh, yeah.
Like, those are tough teams to play.
Yeah.
Especially,
like, on the road and stuff like that. Like, when you, like in Denver and everything like that. Going down to Denver and, you know, still winning 1-0. Like,
CMU, Colorado Mesa, they're number 4 in the country right now. They played MSU Denver in Denver just like we did a week ago, and they tied with MSU 1-1.
Yeah.
And we pulled a 1-0 victory out of that game. So just shows if the number four team in the country can't get past that team
at
in
home?
Denver.
Yeah. I don't, it might be scary.
It
man.
Bodes well for us down the stretch because we took that team. So we're, once the NCAA regional rankings comes out, once we start to get into NCAA tournament time,
yeah,
all that good stuff.
It could be, I don't know.
We're going to see. We're going to be up there.
I mean, I don't want to say anything, and obviously don't want to jinx them and stuff like that, but I mean, it could be scary this year. You know, it could be, it could get, ooh.
You don't want to see the UCCS Lady Mountain Lions come early November.
Yeah, I was going to say, it could definitely be.
The form that they're in now, and they're just going to keep rolling if they stay in it. And if they're playing this well now, mm-hmm. if they can keep it rolling, they're going to be that much better come November.
Well, I was going to say, coming off, when you come off a 3-0 victory, it's kind of hard to slow down.
Oh,
you know what I mean? It's just keep it rolling.
They got Black Hills on Thursday. Black Hills, there's no two ways about it. They've been the struggling team of the conference the last couple of years. They've got a couple 5-0 losses on their record this year, which in soccer is just demoralizing.
That's like
5-0. It's like, why are we still here?
Yeah, that's like when the Broncos lost by 50 to the Dolphins. Yeah,
thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, of course. Man. Had to, man. You know, of course.
But exactly. No. Yeah.
But just put it in perspective, like how like a 5-0 is crazy.
Yeah. Well, and last year we played Black Hills. In Montana, in Spearfish, or in Montana, South Dakota. What am I talking
same
about?
Same thing. I mean, it's all just one thing.
MSU Billings is also the Yellow Jackets in there, Montana. I mix them up all the time.
Yeah.
Anyway.
In
Spearfish, in South Dakota, last year, Jayden Ledoux by herself scored 5 goals. By herself.
One person.
Yeah. And so it was 6-0 win.
Yeah.
Like, okay, let's just do that again, maybe.
Yeah.
But,
She
didn't even start that game. She came off the bench and scored 5 goals by herself.
Yeah.
I don't know how she was a National Player of the Week that week.
Yeah. I was going to say, with that, like, you don't want to say it's wraps, but it's one of those things where it's like going into the game, I mean.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
Soccer is, that's the beautiful thing about soccer, too, is sometimes it doesn't even matter if you're the better team. So,
yeah.
I mean, we can be talking all this smack, and they could go lose
5-0.
Yeah. I don't know if they'll lose 5-0,
yeah.
But they could lose 1-0, and a 1-0 win on your record is the same as a
5-0.
5-0
yeah.
win. So, if
one
they lose 1-0 to Black Hills, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So, they got to keep it rolling. I think it should, if they can play the way that they know they can, should be smooth sailing against Black Hills. But then Sunday, come right back to Colorado, head to Denver, play Regis.
Yeah.
Regis is a team you can never look past.
I was going to say, Regis is tough.
Yeah. Regis, a season ago in the playoffs, Regis comes down, played them, we played them here in the RMAC tournament. Regis beats us 2-1, moves on to the championship game, and ends our conference season. Luckily, they had taken care of business during the regular season. We're still in the national tournament.
Uh-huh.
But if it wasn't for that, we probably would have had a better seed in the national tournament. We would have been I don't know if we've been in the conversation to host the first couple rounds, but we would have been closer if we didn't lose that game to Regis.
Yeah.
And they beat us at home.
Yeah.
We're undefeated at home this year. Like, well, we have one loss in non-conference, but that was Western Oregon scored a goal with, 24 seconds left or whatever
that
it was.
Off the was that the one off the free kick off the late no
the first goal was a free kick
the first one yeah
yeah,
yeah.
So free kick was the first goal, and then tap past breakaway,
yeah,
literally if it wasn't 20 seconds it was 40 seconds or a little more than a minute. I want to say it was under 30 seconds though.
Yeah.
Chloe Smith was the Western Oregon Wolf that scored, and she had 2 goals in that game. That's the only loss, and that was early September.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Yeah. So way back.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, we're sitting here talking about it now. I guarantee you not a player in that locker room has thought about that loss in at least 2 weeks, if not more.
No way. No.
Yeah. And that's how you got to be if you want to win. If you want to win in this league, women's soccer in the RMAC, very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Oh, yeah.
Colorado School of Mines, 16th in the nation. Colorado Mesa, fourth in the nation.
Yep.
UCCS is receiving votes. Westminster at one point this year was receiving votes.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
action packed.
Yeah.
And I mean, really, the RMAC is that way in most sports. Volleyball is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been talking about the struggles of our volleyball team. And like, if you look at the elite teams in the RMAC, they're the elite teams in the country.
Yeah, it's not just like the league.
Metro State Denver
fights
for the national championship almost on a yearly basis.
Mm-hmm.
CSU Pueblo's on a down year this year, and they're still almost ranked. Regis is 17th in the country, and they're always fighting for a top 10 ranking.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, we talk about, our teams are struggling. But it's like, yeah, you're struggling because you're playing...
It's hard not to struggle against, like, Titans. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, when you're going against Titans, like, what are you going to do?
Please go win a fist fight against Hercules.
Yeah. No, it's we get it. We good.
No problem.
Yeah. These teams that, you know, always nationally ranked, you know, like, number four. No, we got it. We're good.
Tara, before the season started, would have told you, like, she wants to make the national tournament this year.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's probably out of the cards at this point. But still, if we hit our stride at the wrong time, or at the right time,
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You win your conference tournament, you get an automatic bid into that national tournament. So mm-hmm. who knows? It's going to be tough. You got to beat the MSU Denver team. You got to beat that Regis team. Is it likely? Probably no. Can it be done?
Yes.
Who says you can't?
Yeah,
those teams can, but what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to just take that? Like,
it's so, one game.
Yeah.
It's one game.
And that, back to women's soccer, a little off track here, but they're that team in the RMAC, and the fact that we're not they're in the same boat that Fort Lewis was, I don't think they're getting the respect that they deserve. But I guarantee you, if you brought JB in here, which we may here in the next couple of weeks, hopefully.
Yeah. Who knows?
Or any of those players in that locker room, which we hopefully will bring in here in the next couple of weeks, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
you ask them, would you rather be the number one team in the country that everybody knows is the team to beat, or would you rather be the team that nobody's giving respect to, that everybody's looking past and saying, oh, they're not that team.
They're going to lose.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
And then you walk in there and you beat them 5-0.
Yeah.
You beat them 1-0 in a grind out game where mm-hmm. you control play and you say, yeah, we scored a goal, now come back and score on us and beat us.
Yeah.
I guarantee you every single one of them will say, we rather be the team that they don't tab.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Underdogs, like when you're playing like as an underdog, people don't tab. I mean, you're playing with a chip on your shoulder. And that just gives you motivation, proving people wrong and stuff like that. So, yeah, 100%. I would say that's one of the reasons why the women are doing so good, because like you said, they're not nationally ranked yet and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I say yet because, I mean...
Well, I mean, they were earlier in the season, and then, like I said, they had a rocky start, and they're trying to earn that respect back now.
Mm-hmm.
They lost to Western Oregon. They lost at home, but then now Western Oregon's the top 25 of the country.
Mm-hmm.
We beat Point Loma here at home. They're not in the rankings anymore. We beat Colorado School of Mines. They're still in the rankings, so I don't know how. But
yeah.
So, like, if you want to be there, you got to beat those teams. I feel like, personally, that the women's soccer team has won those games that they've needed to get that recognition.
Yeah.
Apparently, they don't feel the same way in the national conversation, but...
It'll come.
I don't think the women's soccer players and coaches would have it any other way.
Yeah, no, it'll be in due time and stuff and everything. But cool. I think enough about women's soccer and stuff. But what do we got coming up, man?
Yeah, so big weekend ahead. It all gets started this coming, I want to say Thursday is the first game. Here, let me pull it up. Mm-hmm. I don't got it in front of me.
You're good.
So on the road, once again, women's soccer on the road, South Dakota, Black Hills State. We'll see how it goes. Men's soccer heads down to Durango, Fort Lewis. That's going to be a really tough game for them. Fort Lewis is always a good team.
Mm-hmm.
Like 10 years ago, they were winning national championships almost with ease.
Mm-hmm.
And haven't been to that level the last couple of years. But once again, not a team that you can be like, oh, we're going to go to Fort Lewis and get a win and it's going to be easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to be ready for them.
Cool.
Volleyball. Coming back, they're going to be on the road. Only one home game, actually, overall this week, which is unusual. But volleyball's got a tough one. They've got Colorado Mesa. They're, I want to say, 13th in the country up there.
Yep.
Westminster on Saturday out in Salt Lake, so kind of that Western road trip that you always get between Mesa and Westminster for the volleyball team.
Yep.
That's Friday and then Saturday.
Yeah.
Sunday, men's soccer, the only home game of the week, Adams State, Mountain Lion Stadium. I believe 1 p.m. kickoff time for that one.
Yep.
Be there, be square. Then women's soccer out at Regis. If women's soccer can win in Black Hills on Thursday, they have the opportunity to grab the 50th career win at UCCS for J.B. Belzer, the head soccer coach for the women. Would be really cool if he could do it against Regis. We said he was there for 24 years before he came here.
Yeah.
So
it'd be poetic, to say the least.
What a better place to do it than out in Regis. So part of me was hoping that he could get it done at home. Obviously, I don't want them to go and lose or tie on the road. But I think it sets up perfectly.
I was going to say, it's like almost like too poetic. Yeah. It's like, I mean, how is it not going to happen?
So we'll see what happens. Obviously, they got to get their ducks in a row and take care of business. I firmly believe that they can do it. I think everybody in that locker room believes that they can do it. But yeah, we'll see. Adams State at home for men's soccer should be a fun game. Two games played last year. We haven't played Adams yet this year. First game, men's soccer last year beat them like 7-0. Or no, I think it was, I think the women beat them 7-0. I think the men was like 11-0. Which is just unfair in soccer.
Racking it up.
Yeah.
Like, just call it. He's already dead.
Yeah. And, well, and then we played them later in the season. We're like, oh, we beat them 11-0. It should be easy. And then we beat them 2-1.
Yeah.
So you never know.
Never know.
That's the beautiful thing about athletics is you never know. So. Yeah. Couple good games coming up here, and next week we may have somebody with us.
Yeah, 100%. But, you know, talking about next week and stuff like that, we are sadly running out of time that we have for today. So, thank you so much for listening. If you guys want to hear a little bit more of Chalk Talk, me and Jake, you know, talking sports, and as we keep alluding to, hopefully a guest speaker next week. No promises on who it'll be, but make sure you tune in to make sure, or not to make sure, because you never know. It might be your favorite sport, you know. It could be your favorite basketball player. It could be your favorite volleyball player. It could be your favorite cross-country player.
Could be a teammate of yours.
Exactly. It could be a classmate of yours. You never know.
You never know.
Never know.
That's why we're doing it.
Yeah, alrighty. But yeah, but like we said, that's for next week. But make sure you guys are going to all those UCS athletic events. I say that even though there's only one at Adams State, make sure you're watching all those UCCS athletic events.
We'll see you there on Sunday against Adams State.
Yeah, that'll be a good game. So like Jake said earlier, be there or be square. but alrighty, I think that's all we have for you today for the Chalk Talk. It's great to get back up in here. You know, starting this back up, I know Jake is more than excited to get after it this year.
Feels great.
Yeah. So once again, thank you so much for listening, and we hope to catch you guys again next week.